For May 26th, 2016, this is episode 45 of the PHP Roundtable. Today, we record live from PHP Tech in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm your host, Sammy K. Powers. If you've ever listened to a live episode of the PHP Roundtable, you've probably heard this intro where I apologize for the quality of the sound. And to this episode is no exception. I apologize for the quality of sound. Again, I thought I had it all figured out. I took Dragon Man Tank on Twitter's advice, Chris Tankersley. I set up GarageBand in the background. I click record to get the high quality version. And guess what? It failed after just 1 or 2 minutes. Never use GarageBand for anything. The user interface is horrible. I hate it. And it's very unreliable. Next time I'll be using Audacity to try to record the sound, but I apologize. We're just using the Google Hangout sound, which was compressed horribly, not because Google Hangouts is bad, but because there was so much background noise that it was trying to filter it out and compressed it weird. And like, it sounds like we're all talking from one can to another connected with a string. So I apologize. If that kind of stuff drives you crazy, I just recommend skipping this episode. But if you're willing to bear it, we talk a lot about a lot of really cool stuff, including some of the recent Fig stuff that's been going on. So hope you enjoy it and hope you can actually hear what's going on. Hello and welcome. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Sammy K. Powers, and this is the PHP Roundtable. We are recording live as always, but today we have a live studio audience at PHP Tech 2016. Say hi, everybody. Applause! On the video, you can only see me and partial bin marks. I apologize for that. The computer's kind of bogged down with the electronical equipment and wires. And Jeremy Mikola, if you check him out on Twitter, is live streaming this apparently. He just has his camera up. So let's kick this off by introducing the panel real quick. Let's start off with Joe. Say hi and why you're here.
I'm Joe Ferguson. I don't really know why I'm here. To talk about things, maybe Fig related, maybe user group related.
Awesome. Ben Marks here, just usually representing the
Gento as always. Watch the line. Oh.
Well, Gento has your back. we're I think one of the newest member project on Fig, I think. So we just joined right in time for the fun stuff. So let's throw it over to one of our
we actually did that for you, Ben.
Hi, Samantha Quinones. I guess I'm also going to be talking about the Fig since someone brought it up.
Well, somebody did bring it up. Then we also have the amazing.
Hi. Hello. I'm Gary Hockett, and I'm here probably to argue about the Fig.
Excellent. Well, I mean, obviously, it sounds like one of the topics today might be the Fig. Before we get to that, though, I did want to kind of talk about speaking at PhD conferences, because a lot of people are like, hey, I want to start speaking. How do I get into that? Including myself, because I've never actually officially spoken at an official conference other than like open spaces or something like that. PHP Fig is on the list, and PHP 7.1, I actually forgot to get with you guys and be like, hey, we should talk about 7.1 features. So this might go really well. And we might actually meet Ridman Riantigo. He's okay. We might need you a little bit later. Also, Pringles is going to make an appearance later with Jeremy Mikola, who does lots of things. And of course, we always have a developer shout out. And we have a special developer shout out this week for somebody who's actually here at PHP Tech. So, with that, without any more further ado, speaking at a PHP conference. So, just a heads up, if you've never done it before, I found this great resource by Kayla Daniels, who is lovely and amazing. She made this website, helpmeabstract.com, and you can submit your potential abstracts for conference papers, and people, big speakers from all over PHP world will analyze them and give you feedback, and so I did that. Got some great feedback and some abstracts that I was working on, and then I submitted them to various CFPs or call for papers for various conferences. By the way, Cal Evans, is Cal Evans here? I don't see Cal.
Alan,
he was in here earlier. You're upstairs? Okay. Cal Evans has this great website, the cfpreport.com, which sends you an email regularly about these CFPs that are open. So if you're interested in speaking and you want to kind of be in the know of like what's open right now, go to the cfpreport.com and sign up, and you'll get weekly emails.
Yes. On Wednesday. Every Wednesday. If you signed up like before they changed that option, yes, you get it on Wednesday, because that's what I get. But you can actually adjust the day and get it whatever day you want.
I like a Wednesday.
I like Wednesday as well. It's very natural.
So a couple of CFPs that I submitted to. So I got a couple here. I want to give a shout out to ZenCon, which is in Las Vegas, Nevada. So you can lose all your money. Their CFP is open until May 31st. Yeah, some ZenCon people. Yeah, a couple of ZenCon people out there. True North PHP. Anybody want that one? It's going to be the last official one. Grumpy Programmer is running that one. It's going to be in Ontario. What's the name of that?
Mississauga.
Mississauga. It looks like Mississippi, but differently. There's like lots of ISS.
I'm pretty sure that's near Canadian.
Yeah, I think it is. It's like America's hat area. But that's if he ends June 5th. Confu, the white elephant. They have the white elephant.
What's
that?
Confu Vancouver.
It's in Vancouver, yes. It's also in America's hat area. That CFP ends June 6th. And the last open CFP we have right now that I've got on my list is Madison PHP in Madison, Wisconsin, which is a great event. I've been there before, and their CFP ends June 15th. So if you're thinking about submitting to a conference, check out those CFPs. Just Google all of those names. Last one, though, that actually hasn't been open, but will open soon, as I've been told by, I think it was Kevin Bruce, it said PHP World, or it was at Sandy, I can't remember who I was talking to earlier, about PHP World's CFP might be opening soon. Yes. Waiting for a nod. Okay, yeah, it's getting a nod.
Somebody in the orange shirt said it was not going to happen, so we ran with it.
Somebody in the orange shirt acknowledged that was indeed going to happen soon. That's happening in D.C., specifically Tyson's Corner, Virginia, which is D.C. area. In fact, the hotel that PHP World held at is one of the hotels that I went to many, many times for dance events. It's one of the bigger dance events on the East Coast that's held there. So I'll go there with you guys, hopefully this time, if PHP World accepts my CFPs. That was a wave for everybody listening. So we might put out a dance floor. The answer to that one is maybe in the room. This is the dance floor. So, okay, speaking at conferences, you guys have all spoken at conferences before. I've never been to all of your events. So what does it take to be a conference speaker? How do I get from not conference speaker to conference speaker?
Amazing charisma.
Thank you.
Oh, right. Sorry, they run out of business.
There's a lot of unrelated activities going on right now. There's Capture the Flag, Security, and then there's War Games. And so we need Brandon Turing to have
to be here. That was actually Gary's charisma that calls that.
He has to tone it down.
Yeah, there's other people on this podcast, Gary.
You need to be a human being.
That's
the ability to somehow communicate with words.
Yes.
Really, I mean, that's what it takes. You have to have some passion for something and the desire to get up on a stage in front of a group of people and talk about it. It looks a lot scarier from the audience than it is, than it really is.
I think the important thing as well is you don't have to worry about being with someone who is outgoing or not. You just have to be somebody who is willing to share information. That's the biggest problem that I have seen with a lot of these speakers is they don't feel like they have anything to contribute, and everybody has something to contribute. You just have to be willing to stand up in front of a bunch of people and contribute.
Yeah, I mean, major loss from step is actually submitting an abstract, and the nice thing is you don't actually have to have the talk finished. You can just come up with a really good idea and kind of use that as kind of a time box. Get yourself excited about a topic and get submit, and then figure it out on the way once you're accepted. And don't sweat the rejections, because man, we've all been speakers, but man, have we been rejected.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was actually really joking. I mean, amazing. That's definitely not the prerequisite. As someone said, just submit. Everybody's got something to share. Everybody's got something to give. We've all started from somewhere. We've all had bad experiences early on where we needed to practice more. But yeah, user group is the same story. You know, everyone says, submit a user group. I didn't actually do that personally, but that's definitely a preferable route, is to have a go at a user group. User groups will typically accept any proposal as long as you're happy to show up and give it a go. And that's a great place to dip your toes in.
That's a great idea. We actually talked about that, the user group. We had a little user group open space, and we were talking about trying to get speakers to come to user groups. And difficulties involved in that. It's, I can't remember who mentioned that it was they were encouraging new people to be like, okay, come up with a topic that you can do a lightning talk on, so 10 minutes, and then just study it. And by the next time we have a user group, come back to the lightning talk idea, and then we'll just run it.
Shameless plug, if you have anything that's PhD adjacent that you'd like to talk about, come at PhD, we'll do lightning talks for 10 minutes. So that is a great way to get into doing speaking, is to do a lightning talk. And our, we've never rejected a lightning talk submission.
Challenge accepted.
I hope you can see Sammy's face. Nothing is coming out of his mouth, but that face.
That's lovely. How does one...
So if you visit nomadphb.com, there's a link for lightning talks. There's a submission form. Fill that out, and I will get in touch with you. I'm going to organize this talks. We'll figure something out.
Sweet.
Yeah, NomadPHP, the sort of the world's PHP user group, accessible to everybody. Lightning talks are a great place to start. Even if you're, if you can practice even where you work, maybe you have some employees and you're excited about some coworkers you're excited about a topic. Just do a pitch with them in the same meeting rooms that you're in all the time. Just get to feel comfortable. And if you can, record. Just go ahead, take a recording of it. Feel painful to watch. Later on, but that's one of the best ways to own your speaking skills.
I'm not a brave adult. You can't see me.
That's it.
So speaking about recording your talks, one instance of this that I saw firsthand was Jordan Casper, who lives up in the D.C. area, and he's very big in the JavaScript community. He did a talk from MSPHP years ago, and I thought it was odd that he recorded his talk. He was going around the user groups, giving these talks, recording some of these talks, and using that sort of group. And I always admired that about him, that he was using that as a tool to get better. Because I have never been able to watch myself do a talk. I've always been too scared to see myself in that manner. And that's one thing I wish I could get over, to kind of see myself progress as a speaker.
Yeah, you still get over because you knocked it out today. I went to your
I appreciate that.
I can mentor you on growing an ego.
On growing an ego? Yeah, I think we should set that up. phbmentoring.org, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard to get over that hump of watching yourself on stage and hearing your own voice, and it sounds weird and it looks weird and it's uncomfortable. But if you can persevere and push through it, there is some value there. I'm kind of a hypocrite there because I really can't stand watching myself on video doing talks. But when I can force myself to do it, I always catch there that I didn't notice when I was doing the talk, and it's a good way to approach.
Well, that's another thing too. I mean, this day and age, we've got with YouTube, with like TED Talks and stuff. And you can. One of another ways to prepare is you can actually go out there and watch other speakers, especially people who do it regularly, and you will start to pick up on some of the things that they do, how they address their inflection, how they move back and forth or not to engage the crowd. Just stay anything. Anytime you see a video. Jeremy McCullough, just don't try and do anything that he does. Because he's a master.
He is a master. He knows the rules enough to where he can bend and break them. But he don't want to start off bending and breaking the rules. Is that right, Jeremy?
He's shrugging because he doesn't know what he's doing. I found Gary's second ego, Nancy.
Flying by the seat of his pants, I think, is the meme that, or the miming he was doing that. So speaking of auto-loading and things like that, I'm really good at transitions on this.
Uncomfortable segue.
You know, Facebook. We just got out of PHP Jeopardy, by the way, which was fantastic. Run by, of course, the guy who's got all the things. Jeremy McCullough. In your talk today, Joe Ferguson, you were talking about legacy apps, and when you get a legacy app, if it doesn't have, say, for example, like a standard coding style, there's one for you, it's called BizArts, you can check it out on the big, check it out, there's these coding guidelines that people use spaces on apps, those kind of things. You also mentioned auto-loading, you said legacy applications have auto-loading and things like that. Those are all standards that are presented by this body called PhpFig, and we had an episode on PhpFig before, when we were talking about the thing, I had a bunch of thing people on, but not you guys. All of you guys are part of the thing except for Mr. Gary. So what's your role? What projects are you guys handling on the thing?
We tried to get Gary, Mr. Gary, that's really cool.
So my role in the FIG is I'm one of the secretaries. My job is to kind of herd the FIG cats and officiate votes. Not necessarily vote in votes. That's not something we don't vote. We just kind of officiate votes and tally votes, report results. We also interpret bylaws and kind of part of the decider, not only the decision makers, but we are there to kind of lend guidance when something comes up that falls in my law in question.
Sweet. Yeah, so I'm representing representative for Magento, which is one of the newest inductees into the big body. Got in kind of just in time to catch all of the lovely goings on that are going on. We're basically like, you know, we're one of the kittens that the judge got joined on the other secretary.
I'm one of the other secretaries. Joe said, we also do a lot of the kind of the administration and housekeeping, so like maintaining the website and the GitHub account and that kind of stuff. But we are like the big cat herding janitors. We clean the cat boxes.
Those are the litter scoopers.
We are the litter scoopers. Poop scoopers. So that's really my role today. That and telling people to shut up on the mailing list and then locking.
I'm good at that. That's
I really enjoy that part. That's fun.
I like to pitch in without actually doing anything.
You're going to fit in handsomely.
Yeah.
Well,
that minute, Garrett is going to be a secretary to me.
Yeah, I did. I was supposed to be Samantha, but I backed out for the last minute because I had a little
box. By the way, every time you say something, somebody wins something in the game, and it's yours.
It's purely your charisma.
It's not a coincidence. Somebody else won something in a chess game over there. For those of you who don't know, I'm not. So PHP Roundtable tries to stay away from quote unquote drama. And I feel like drama in general is kind of overstated on Twitter a lot of times. This isn't about talking about drama, but more about just sort of things that are going on in the FIG, just getting to know. But without getting into more of the specifics, I guess a couple weeks ago, there was somebody who wrote a blog saying that there was a project on packages that was getting fraudulent downloads, and they were questioning whether this person was a legit person, the product manager. And that person happened to be part of the FIG. It was one of the FIG representing projects. And then there was a discussion brought up in the FIG mailing list about whether or not this person should be reconsidered as a FIG member. And there was some back and forth, and there happened to be someone who chimed in on that mailing list discussion and said, oh, I can explain these potentially looks like fraudulent things, and that ended up being discovered as potentially that same person, the project owner, sock puppeting this fraudulent fake person, creating this story to kind of cover their tracks. That's kind of like the TLDR version of what's been going on in FIG, and the Twitter response to that has been like, oh, it's kind of drama, right? Maybe there's some drama there, but one other thing, I know Gary's ready to
talk about that. Just because I have no problems in this race,
yes,
Tuesday, let's just make it clear that it's never anything to do with the software.
Yes.
It's certainly in my mind's made up, and I think it happened, but there's never been any rules. That's just my opinion.
Yes.
I can say that because I am not
it. And absolutely, literally, if you don't know anything about the situation, just stop with his TLDR, because you literally don't want to go just down this, you know, hours of our text, just trying to follow up on this.
Yes, absolutely. It's all on the mailing list for PHP Fig, but like what Gary just said, there isn't like hardcore evidence that can be brought to trial and be like, maybe this is more circumstantial stuff that people are kind of dragging that maybe this is what the case is. So, with all these allegations, I should say, there were three projects that, in the midst of all of that stuff that was going down, that started to leave the thing. And I think each one of that, legitimate reasons, they're like, hey, you know, you're for some reason, we've had all been getting these emails about, you know, unrelated stuff, and that's kind of what I've got. I got it from people who are leaving. But then people on Twitter land started blowing up and thinking, like, oh my gosh, the thing is crumbling. And yes. I mean, although we do use import in certain projects, I mean, it's one of those standard, not very exact things, but
Yeah, we don't feel like a cat named ourselves.
So a lot of people might label that as fig drop-in. And in this case, kind of blown up, of course, with the PHP internals mailing list. A lot of potentially benign comments end up on Twitter, misquoted, and then end up becoming fig drop-ins on Twitter by themselves without even being thrown on the mailing list. And there's plenty of that on the mailing list as well. But I'm curious about each one of your all thoughts on kind of the of that situation that went down. What are the concerns about the fig becoming irrelevant or imploding on itself? Are those even legit concerns?
The reports of our implosion have been greatly exaggerated. I think what happened was that big event caused a lot of projects to call into question their involvement and their time commitments. Being involved in big is no small time commitment. Being a member project is definitely no small time commitment. So I believe that dealing with all of that, as nasty and gross as it was, really shed some light on some people who just don't have time to participate in big. And are really doing a disservice by not being able to have time to put towards commenting on the PSRs, commenting on the process of what the thing does. So I think what you saw there was a cause and effect that were caused, definitely not really related, but some projects resigned because they just didn't have the time to put into it. I would have rather seen some of those projects just replaced in membership. That way they're still involved in the thing in an official capacity, but maybe change who was keeping up with all of the thing business. But even after all of that, there's been some great discussions and very heated discussion about PSR 7 and middlewares, and that is now coming to a vote that hasn't already. That's going in an ongoing vote. So the PSR 7 stuff is being expanded. There are working groups on async PHP, which are working on bringing the async PHP PSR into an entrance vote. PSR 12, which is going to be the expansion of PSR 2, the code style guide is being worked on. There is a pending up for discussion PHP fig 3 proposal, which will change a lot of how fig operates and functions as a whole. So there is a lot of stuff going on in fig, and I'd like to point out that every community has drama in one form or another. Internals has just as much drama as not more than fig does. Any community outside of programming. And I think where that drama stems from is really passionate people that really care about it. Because depending on how you look at the situation that happened with fig, that's still a passionate person that went to incredible lengths to remain relevant, to be able to input and interact with it. So I think it's easy to confuse that passion with the drama. And maybe some of the passion is misguided, maybe it isn't, but I think there's still plenty of awesome things happening with it.
Yeah, so I can tell you that Project 2 doesn't get done as quickly, doesn't come out when it did without the assistance of PSRs, which we can't talk about before. We were able to do things against a standard recommendation that allowed us to use the work of others. So we didn't have to write stuff that other people had already written. I mean, we were able to use it straight away. So, I mean, the value of what the fig puts out is absolutely important. We voted to essentially just an abstain vote. Honestly, don't really care. Whatever the matter is, whether something was just approved or not, kind of factored into that, but. At the end of the day, for me, it was just important to just get the thing over with. Let's focus on the work at hand. Getting ready for fix 3.0 and continue this important mission of the thing, which is really it should be for the benefit of our community now. I forget who wrote it, but I did read a very good, I mean, this was really kind of a touchstone moment in big history, which is why I think we saw some people say, maybe we're not actually in force, we're just going to leave. But, someone wrote a great article on this moment. And I think one of the things that they kind of pointed out was, like, hey, really, we're at an interesting point. I mean, if you leave off this one, potentially sort of rogue or bad actor, whatever, the PSRs become, maybe more contentious, or the topics they're dealing with are not as easy as some of the earlier
PSRs. Like, and not to say that they were easy, because there was plenty of discussion about like PSR 2 and things like that. But if you think about it, like, it makes sense that the FIG was able to, the first few PSRs were maybe so-called low-hanging fruit, right? And so now we're really getting into some stuff. So it's a really important time for us to come together as a new organization and move forward.
Yeah, and I definitely want to say that the work that the FIG has done today has been absolutely amazing. The most of the recommendations that have come out, I wholeheartedly agree with the back and the news. I wouldn't actually put cash in a bracket, but we could have a whole other podcast just talking about that, right? So let's not move that. You know, I genuinely, as I say, I got involved and had to back away because for me it's just fundamentally broken ways. I just feel that there's just way too much bullshit that goes on. Can I say bullshit? Sorry.
This is the explicit episode, so you're welcome to say.
Well, I couldn't actually take bullshit back, so I apologize. There's just too much. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Every time we talk, somebody does something, and it gets amazing.
It's just. If you've ever tried, like, reading every single post that happens on that mailing list, particularly at a point where there's a PSR coming near to a vote, it's like, I think it's impossible to read every single post as one human and to, you know, block every post. You can scan every post, but I just think, well, why does it need three secretaries to moderate that mailing list? Because I just don't think one person should do it. And then, therefore, having one representative for a member project, you're asking somebody to do the impossible. I just don't think one person can vote on a project, on a PSR, and have read every single comment that has been posted on that PSR. I think it's fundamentally impossible. And so you either end up having projects, you know, just reading the member documentation, which is fine.
Except maybe Larry Garfield. I think this is the one person who I think does read everything.
Yeah. Yes. He is a superhuman individual. Kudos to Larry, but I just genuinely believe that there's the low-hanging fruit is quite, you know, and let's be honest, without the autos in PSRs, we have no computer. And without the computer, we would have not as many people in this room, you know, at conferences. So massively respect the work that's been done, but just in case. Fundamentally broken this situation going forward, to be honest.
And 3.0 probably fixes that, right?
Well, I mean, it's a start. I mean, the thing is, obviously, we have issues. I wanted to serve as a secretary of the thing because it has issues, not because it's perfect. I think that the 3.0 proposal, as it is now and as it's going to evolve as it gets closer and closer to, hopefully, to a vote, goes a long way to start addressing those. There are a lot of things that we can do about the unmanageability of the FIG process now by applying process, by maybe finding better ways of communicating official FIG business as opposed to sort of like the meta discussions that are going around it. I don't know what the answers to those questions really are, but I think that 3.0 kind of gives us a good framework to start building out those processes. So I'm really excited about where the FIG is hopefully going, this summer and into next year. I feel like we often get sidetracked, like things with this, with what happened with the Pixie project. And obviously, I don't have strong feelings either way about whether or not that vote should have passed or not. My feeling was, and I think that the other secretaries agreed, is that this was brought to our attention, and then it was released into a blog. We had multiple members of the FIG that were very concerned about that issue, and we wanted to get it in front of the membership to vote on it, not because of any desire for the vote to go one way or the other, but just so that we could close the book on this incident. Whether or not the allegations were true, it's a black mark on the entire organization. And I felt the faster we dealt with it and got to a resolution that the membership voted for, the faster we could kind of move on and get back to the important stuff that we are working on. I mean, we are working on a lot of stuff. We have a new member that just joined. We just opened up PSR 14, which is the event manager PSR. There's an open vote right now for middleware PSR, so to sort of standardize
middleware interfaces. That's kind of like an addendum to PSR7. That vote closes on Tuesday, so if you're a voting member and you haven't voted yet, please make sure you get your vote in before it closes.
How many percent to vote on that? This is actually one of the reasons I was really happy for us to join. I actually sent a note into our, you know, we have like a couple hundred developers and in our organization, and I sent it to our lead architect for the Gen 2 project, a nice Ukrainian guy named Anton Krill. And one of like two or three funny Ukrainians on the planet. I mean, really should just follow him on Twitter. He's a great guy. But also, you know, truly brilliant. So I figure we have this huge team of people that we can kind of claim. I can sort of say, hey, you guys want to chime in on this? I'm actually waiting for a little feedback, but the period is quickly
right.
expiring. So I have a feeling we are going to vote with it because it actually fits right in with you know, commerce rarely happens in a silo.
Well, this is an entrance vote.
I want this thing to go forward.
No, I understand, but this is an entrance vote. This is just to assign a PSR number, essentially.
Right.
This is not about final adoption.
Formal discussions. Should the FIG even consider this? But it is one of the entrance votes. Absolutely. And I have a feeling that. Well, and the nice thing is also we got like Andrew Ferrara chiming in, you know, his opinion on things. And I think we want us to see it going forward.
There's an Anthony Ferreira fan in the audience. Who was that?
Oh,
Katie
loves Anthony Ferreira. Absolutely.
Sorry, why don't I remember? Beautiful hair, was that? Was that Corey? Did you say he has beautiful hair?
Yes, Corey thinks he has beautiful hair. Sorry.
He does. It's like a flowing river of chocolate.
Okay, that escalated quickly. I just wanted to clear up that, like, I'm totally not anti-fig, and as you say, I really... I'm keen to get more standardizations. I don't even think that FIG 3.0 is addressing the point that everybody can comment on everything. Am I?
So what's your specific issues with FIG 3.0?
I haven't really been involved, but as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't address the signal-to-noise ratio. Am I right? Everybody still gets the email on everything, right?
Yes. It doesn't really do anything to the signal to noise ratio. However, it does take into account a better process of how decisions are made and how things come about in the session.
It's not fair that someone's right who are arguing massively have to share a microphone.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
how about this? Me and Samantha will share a microphone.
So but I can still send an email to the Google group and X hundred people will still have to spend 25-30 seconds reading whatever nonsense I choose to write on a, you know, on a PSR thread, which is fundamentally my huge concern, is that on the one hand, I completely understand that everybody should have a say, and everybody's opinion is equal, but realistically, on a cached PSR, Dobrin's opinion should be All humans are equal, but some humans are more equal than others, right? And on the PSR, on the caching PSR, Doctrine, who are one of the biggest consumers of that, should have been one of the biggest consumers of that PSR, their opinions seem to have been drowned out in the nonsense, that, you know, the tidal wave of bullshit that was posted on that thread.
Things like that specifically are what the 3.0 proposal was trying to address. Right. So
I'm dancing and cheering on stage.
Yeah, well, I mean, the TLDR, the heart of FIG 3.0 is the kind of the formalization of these working groups. These working groups will gather together subject matter experts around a particular proposal to generate a PSR and to sort of, first of all, segregate that technical discussion among people who are really interested in having it. Maybe not the entire, you know, FIG mailing list, subscriber list. And let them work together to create a standard that they feel is technically valid, and then present that finished product to the FIG to be evaluated for fitness to be published as a PSR, whether or not it should be adopted, to make sure that it meets the standards that the PSR sets. So I think that 3.0 definitely provides a framework to fix that problem to an extent.
But at the point of before vote, presumably we'll go to the main mailing list where every man and his woman and his dog or will be able to post whatever nonsense they want.
Well, the working group will finalize the PSR, and then it will go to the court. What is this? Under this proposal, go to the court committee, and the court committee would vote on it after analyzing it for its fitness as a PSR standard, not under the technical merit.
So it wouldn't go to the main group that you want to comment?
I don't think under FIG 3.0 that individual PSRs go to the general voting populace. It's voted by the court committee.
The general populace would, of course, give input on that.
Yeah.
No, it's much more, not really siloed, but it's much more that a group goes off, works on something, and comes back to FIG with something, and then feedback can be given if it's warranted. And I think what Gary is getting at is the fact that there can be so much instant feedback, it can be overwhelming. And
yeah.
The signal to noise ratio is what Gary, I think Gary's main problem is. And there is some rule that we keep having to keep refreshing, which is an old gentleman's agreement about you only respond to a threat once a day. And in the heat of battle, or argument, or however you want to phrase it, that goes right out the window. And I think one thing that I personally would like to see is maybe more heavy-handed enforcement of this.
Well, to use your term, I'm sorry to the esteemed colleague to my left, but a gentleman's agreement only works if people are willing to be gentlemen.
I agree with you, and that's why I feel like a more heavy-handed version, whether that's secretaries moderating the list, whether that's member projects moderating themselves, what have you,
yeah.
Something should be done to enforce this, give this some teeth, and thus gentlemen's agreement more behavioral pattern.
Absolutely. Which is a particularly hard thing to do over the internet, to be honest, man.
I think we're all old enough to have slapped people with trouts in IRC.
I'm pretty sure Magento 2 supports corporal punishment as well.
It's a sick burn.
So basically, what you've just said, Joe, is that I might as well just drop this mic on the stage and walk off, because you've pretty much solved all my problems.
No! Well, that's what I'm here for. Is to solve all your
Sorry, you solved one of my problems, but we haven't got enough time to do it all.
I took a bunch of yo-yos from you earlier.
Right? That's at least two of your problems I've solved today.
And you're still you when you walk off the stage, so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're not miracle workers.
I'm curious if you guys are aware or feel like that. So, one of the concepts that I've been kind of thinking about with all this stuff that's been going on, thing and anything else, is this idea that like there's just people involved. And I feel like that's just like anytime you get any kind of group together, there's always going to be politics, there's always going to be drama, there's always going to be something, somebody's going to screw something up. We're all kind of like, got this little nature that we want to just screw things up because that's what we like to do, right?
Just to clear this up, I'm not saying anything on this podcast. I haven't said in person to Larry, to Samantha, to Joe. You know, this isn't like me just coming out and bitching about stuff. I've spoken privately to all people concerned before.
We know you bitch boss.
It's, yeah, I've made a career of it, so why should I
stop? It's easy to forget that there are humans behind the keyboard. And that's something, especially on a mailing list in a heated discussion, is very easy to forget and is often lost in translation. So,
I also feel like maybe there can be, probably once we just get this sort of major thing of 3.0 in place, I think there are some, you know, maybe some very simple minor process things that can happen, and maybe even just some, you know, some new, maybe adjusting the medium being used, who knows, where we can make it easier, not just for us big members, but also with big followers to kind of wade through and find really sort of, you know, where's the meat of the conversation versus all of the, all of the garbage.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's something we need to start thinking about how we want to address communication and mix. All that FIG 3.0 does is provide a working framework, and you know, right now the FIG is a direct democracy. Each of the member projects just votes directly on everything, and FIG 3.0 presents more of a representative democracy, where the voting members elect a committee to represent their interests. That's really all the 3.0 is. I think it gives us a good starting point to build a better FIG.
Speaking of that, one of the member projects that left the FIG during all this stuff, by the way, just a brief aside on that, of the three that left, if there were maybe five projects, was it four? There's four that left. Okay,
four or five left.
Yeah, so say there was like six total projects from the FIG. If four or five had left, then that would definitely be the FIG you were going. But considering there's only two, I don't think that really constitute as implosion. But that was just my own little thing that I observed. But one of those projects, they somebody from the member from that project posted a GitHub repo of kind of like, let's make this a community standard thing. So it's sort of like this 15 standard thing failed, so let's make standard number 16. I mean, there's an XKCD comic about this, of course, and everybody kind of knows about that. But they, I'm curious about what your all's thoughts are on. Is the fig so inherently broken that we need to come up with another system to replace it? Or,
and literally, on a meta level, what you're going to end up with is a bunch of people realizing, oh shit, we actually do have to have bylaws and structure in order to get anything done. I mean, it's just, you will never materialize. I'm sorry. Programmers are opinionated, and you will never materialize standards without some kind of process, some framework, cultural niche of mutual respect.
Creating standards is hard. It's not just hard in our language, it's hard in like every language community. It's hard for the internet in general. I mean, look at the process around internet RFCs and how much conversation happens around those. It's just hard work.
And the original discussion of 3.0 was actually based on a lot of the internet RFC processes and how that process works and how that feedback is given, because some of these people have figured these things out before, as it turns out. We're not the first organization trying to do this, so we should look and learn from these other organizations to try to do something not necessarily better than what they did, but learn from their mistakes.
If only they had created the standards creation standard.
There's a standard way to create a standard body that would create.
We need a standards factory. I'm just not convinced in PHP land that we need a body whose job it is to create standards. I think I would be more inclined to create a body that ratifies existing standards. So my example is container interop. Container interop is now a standard, right? So I don't know. I think Pimple implemented, I know Zen Service Manager implemented, tons of containers out there are now using this standard, which hasn't come out of the fig. It's come out of a little small self-organizing group who said, you know what? We want to go away and we want to create the standard. So for me, more things like that, which are then voted on, they come out, they emerge, they're adopted, and then, you know, the fig could say, look, we'd like to ratify this as a standard, and could we do that? And then vote on ratifying it, standards that have emerged.
I think you're going to see that with ACPHP, because that's exactly what the ACPHP group has done. They said, look, we're not ready to bring a async draft into an entrance vote yet, so we're going to go off, figure out all, as much as we can, and then we're going to bring things on that. And recently, the secretaries have been kind of pushing them to go ahead and pull it into an entrance vote, because they've done a ton of work. And we don't want them to get so far down the road that when they come in for interest vote, that the thing existing members are like, well, this is so far outside of what we want, and then it's pushed off.
But this is where I think the thing is overstepping its boundaries. That's my whole problem. I think that people should be encouraged to just go away and sell phone groups and try shit and then see if it works. And if it does work, great. You can ratify it as a standard.
Yeah, I get that, and I see where you're coming from. And I guess my response to that is, at this rate, async PHP will be one of the first to go through PHP Fig 3, whereas they already have their working group, so they will already be a step ahead of any other BSR.
And I love that, and I'm not saying that the Fig shouldn't, for example, say, oh, we really need to have a standard around this, and we're encouraging people to form groups and to talk about this stuff. I totally think that's fine. But I don't think that any body that's ratifying standards should be involved in the creation of those standards.
I mean, I think we're going to end up seeing a mixture of really the early PSRs. There was no de facto standard. And in cases like that, I think it's really healthy for the community to come together and develop a standard together. In other situations, where maybe you have like something like container interop, where you have a de facto standard, well, maybe then the thing can ratify that and adopt it.
It wasn't strictly true because there was slight name. The standard, the interface was there, but the naming was slightly different. So everybody just standardized on get and has. You know? And some people said exists instead of has, and they just kind of thought, it's the same thing, we just need to agree on a name, that group. So Yeah, I get you. And of course, the code side of the standards, they were, a lot of code was analyzed. Nobody just went, oh, we should just have this. People went away and said, oh, this is what I can see in the wild in all these projects. This seems to be a reasonable compromise amongst all of these huge projects that everybody can get on with. But I just don't, I just generally believe there's a little bit of compromise in the thing if they're creating standards and voting on them. It just,
I think if there are people, if there are people out there who are self-organized and they have, they've done the work, there's no reason that we can't, as an organization, just sort of say, like, oh, hey, they got this figured out. Or especially if they've done it and it's already getting traction, there's no reason that we can't just say, okay, well, hey, you know, in the context of us kind of doing standard recommendations, like, hey, we'll just go ahead and bring this in. In Togo, and it's done. And maybe that'll take a little bit of a social engineering so that people aren't like, well, you know, wait, I didn't have anything to say about this, and I'm used to having input. You know, I'm used to going through this process as part of the thing. But we can just say, hey, the work was done. It's good work, and we can vote on it. Just essentially acknowledge what it is, which is, yeah. You know,
if you look at the way, like, bodies like W3C operate, I mean, they work in that way. Like, anybody can really form a working group.
Yeah.
Anyone in FIG 3.0 would be more than welcome to just form a working group. And then you come to the FIG at some point and say, we're ready to standardize on this, to propose it as a standard recommendation for the wider community. And then you have a separation. You have a working group that developed and voted on this PSR. And then you have the FIG core committee, which looks at it from the perspective of, does adopting this as a PSR benefit the community? Does it meet our standards, whatever we voted on as standards for PSRs? And then they take that vote on whether or not to adopt it. So, I mean, I think that is the direction that we're moving in.
I'm just worried that there's some thoughts that PSRs need to be perfect, that standards need to be the best thing they can be, like technically. Oh, it needs to have, you know, an interface with 19 methods, whereas I think the best standards are the ones that are widely adopted. I don't think they're technically the best thing in the world. Standards need to be adopted, and if they're not adopted, they're useless. I firmly believe the cash will flounder and die soon, and that's because
and
it's a bad standard.
If it does, that's totally fine, because there is a process in place to amend PSRs. Somebody can come back and say, look, we tried, we failed miserably, or we failed mediocre, whatever, and they can then adjust that PSR. We have the same thing with Huddle. So
yeah, no,
there's a precedent set to for FIG to say, hey, we might screw up something. We didn't do something right. Let's fix it.
Because that's what people think good standards are, whereas I feel that good standards are the ones that are adopted, regardless of... I mean, I'm not saying they should be technically terrible. Don't get me wrong. No, there's obviously a line. But average technical solutions that are widely adopted are amazing standards.
I would agree with that, yeah. I can see that.
Then... why am I here?
Because you're wearing the competitor's it's not PHP Roundtable t-shirt, but you're wearing the PHP Town Hall t-shirt.
Are those PHP Roundtable t-shirts?
There are not, of course.
They're not. So he couldn't have been wearing one.
I know.
I thought this would be the best ever guest on PHP Town Hall.
You're not supposed to mention other podcasts on
the Voices of the Elephant. Anymore?
Page Talk.
Oh, loosely coupled. No Kicks.
One of my favorites is Adam Weathers, shoot, Full Stack Developer. That's a lovely one.
Full Stack Radio.
Full Stack Radio, sorry. Yeah.
Do you even podcast?
Do you even podcast, bro? Actually, there was a somebody from the audience, and by the way, if you're just listening on in your car, whatever, you can't tell, there's probably five people actually paying attention. And the rest, yeah.
Six at least.
At least six.
Leave your hands down if you're paying attention.
And then even if they're coding,
I see
James Stoffler's
now in it.
But somebody from the audience actually brought up a question, and I think that person has since left because they were bored out of their mind. Did anybody brought up this question?
I believe they left.
Okay, do you know who it was?
I do not.
Okay, well, the question is, regarding FIG, is there a concept / topic that is too broad for FIG to address?
Of course.
Okay, moving on. We got PHP 7.1.
I'm glad I have no input at all on that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I mean, of course, like we could, you know, FIG can say, okay, here's how an e-commerce application should be built in PHP. Completely off the rails, no way.
I mean, am I wrong? Right? maybe I'm being a jerk of you, but like that would be ridiculous. For
if you're floating an idea, please don't.
No, I'm floating an idea. I will burn Google's servers down so that we don't have to see any comments. Be contacting open card.
That's it.
I said BRB, I'll be right back. I'll be open contact open card.
Yeah. You have fun with that.
Which actually would be that same thing. So yeah, I think there are definitely, obviously there's things too big. I think what maybe the person who asked that question was thinking would have been, you know, what is that tipping point? Maybe. And I'm not really sure what that tipping point is. Maybe that tipping point is something that goes beyond the scope of a framework. Maybe something that goes beyond the scope of a package. Because traditionally, I remember projects have been frameworks for the original idea, but we've also expanded it to libraries and packages, and with Big 3.0, we kind of standardize a little bit better, and it's not so such a gray area. But I think the standards that the Fig should be responsible for is what to share among the public projects, the Fig should be community, not just frameworks, not just libraries, not just one off packages.
Excellent. That's a great segue. Actually, we need to start wrapping it up a little bit. It is getting kind of late. You have something going on after this.
Yeah, I do. I have sent my minions to collect my things, and you're okay.
Okay, excellent.
I do have some time.
Okay, excellent. Well, all right. We'll start wrapping this up.
Well, that's fine. You're going to a rival podcast.
I am going to go record a rival podcast and drink some beer.
I'm not offended.
Yes, I am. I know.
It's the effect. Let's wrap this up with, by the way, Pringles were lying, unfortunately. Mikola just handed me a text and said that he's going to go play Fractal because he's important to listen to our podcast. He didn't add that part, but I'm sure
he knows Pringles because they're right there.
They are right there. I think he did say eat some if you want to, but
I think we're going
to do that
tomorrow. We're going to take those to the next podcast.
That's right. The fun stuff goes to the next podcast. Yeah. 7.1, did any of you look at the recently denied RFCL implementing attributes for 7.1?
No.
No.
I did, actually.
I did. Are you talking about the function attributes?
Function/method attributes where it uses hack syntax where you use the angle bracket.
And that is the one that just recently failed miserably, correct?
It was declined.
It was typable attributes. All right. Would you like me to ramble on from a position of ignorance?
Wait, you haven't been doing that?
Well, I've
demonstrated already.
Damn you, Fix. Damn you.
Earlier this week, as I was preparing to travel to CPHP Tech, I actually went through all the pending RFCs and cast my vote. I remember that one being overly negative, and I don't remember specifics, but I remember reading it and saying that's really weird, that doesn't make sense, based on what I've seen elsewhere in PHP, elsewhere in the recent 7 RFCs. I'll put that one in myself. It looked so odd and out of place.
Yeah, I think there was something peculiar about the syntax, and then there was also around whether like it should mean something in the AST layer, like internally, versus something in user land. And it was like, what does the AST layer give the user land people? And so I feel like there's a lot of disagreement there in implementation. And Caleb has just walked in. Welcome, bringing a crew of
Caleb's a small child.
Welcome. What's that? Oh, they're making funny faces.
Don't worry, that's for Gary.
Well, so since we didn't actually have a further discussion on the attributes, did Ben Ramsey already leave?
Yes, he was one of my minions. I'm sorry.
Well, because I was going to ask him about some things about UUID, because he's the UUID library. And
we should refer people to the amazing Nomad PHP Lightning Talk, he just recorded about his UUID package.
Well, that's something special.
Yes, it is. And it's coming soon to a YouTube channel near you.
Nice. Well, that'd be great. Well, then, since we don't have Pringles, and Pringles were a lie, it's kind of like cake in that Portal game. Real quick,
Pringles are literally here. Literally, Pringles are here. Tanky buffalo wings.
Show notes repo. If you would like to contribute show notes to PHP Roundtable, it's open source at github.com/PHP Roundtable/show-notes.
And I'd like to thank Chris Shaw, who's been tearing up the show. That's amazing. Contributed to number 44 for Asynchronous Peaks. And also Andy Huggins contributed to Misa, which is the Eric on US special, which was the one that had all the audio trouble. So thank you, Andrew and Chris. You guys are amazing for contributing to the show notes. And if you were listening and you wanted to just like take notes while you're listening to this and just soak up the knowledge and just contribute it back to the world, then check out the show notes repo. Send the PR. I'll bring it in. And then finally, we'd like to wrap up every developer, every episode with a developer shout out. And this particular episode, of course, is sponsored by none other than Laracasts, which is the de facto learning source for anything Laracasts related, but even like just testing. And
they have amazing PHP stuff on that video.
They do. This is from the
end of the show.
Well, then, well, I believe Jeffrey had to record that series because of too many complaints about the Welshman that was recording other series for Gen Range. Is that true?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Confirmed. Thank you.
Jeffrey does a fantastic job of recording these screencasts and really showing you from step one how to do things in Laravel, but also in IDEs and Vim.
It's funny, if you want to be 1992, you can.
It's a great job.
We just have been doing a lot of
huge tasks recently. Really great resources.
Yeah, I mean, Laravel is an inspiration, I think, for even other programming communities to have good educational material out there.
Yeah.
I was really excited to see that the Rails community has jumped on this bandwagon with Railscast. They really took that from Jeffrey Way and ran with it. I was really proud to see that.
And same thing, I have three cats.
Yes. So, obviously, he's making millions because he sponsors the PHP Roundtable with $1 million every month, and I just give 100 of that back. It's $100. I don't actually take any of it. But we give it all back to the community because that's what the community is awesome. I've learned so much from the amazing community here that it's so cool to be able to give some of that back. So, the developer shout-out for this episode goes out to Jumroll. Somebody actually might not even know if they're in the room.
Are they even paying attention?
I don't know. There's like people paying attention. Yeah, we got one. The official dev shout-out goes to Kathy Evans.
Cal would be useless without me.
True story.
So Kathy is right here. She is being recognized in developer shout-out and will receive a $50 Amazon gift card from Laracasts for your contributions to the community. Thank you so much, Kathy. Whatever your name is, Gary Hawkin.
Hi, I'm Gary.
why did we nominate Kathy as the developer shout-out?
Because she does so much. Kyle gets all the credit as the front man, and Kathy's the one running behind making it all happen. And I think she deserves it. And once again, I guess it's all good.
I think Gary slipped him a 20 before this.
He slipped him something, that's for sure.
So thank you, Kathy, for all that you do. I'll make sure to get your mailing address and send you the gift card and everything. And a sticker from me. And finally, since it's definitely about that time, almost exactly that time, let's wrap it up with some shameless plugs. And start with Joe. You got anything you want to know?
Yes, you should check out netmetrics.com, which is the user group of the local user groups.
Does Kathy have any hand in that?
Yes, Kathy has a lot to do with netmetrics. She edits all the videos, she schedules all the events, she handles all the subscriptions. If you ever get an email that is regarding NomadPHP, there is 100% chance it came from Kathy.
And we'll segue into Nomad Mage. This is the Magento focused sort of a Nomad imprint. So coming to you soon. And then in general, of course, Magento, we're always out there looking for your feedback. So you can find me, Ben, at Magento.com. And thanks for having me on here. Excited.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm on this podcast enough. Say, as always, please contact your local chapter of Girls in Tech. Summer immersion programs are opening up at the end of this month. There are a lot of cities. And, they can use your help, either your time or your money, whatever you got to give. Please help. There's some really motivated young people who are trying to get into this industry and they need your help.
And I'd like to pimp something that I launched yesterday, which is called Sustain.Community. And it's a brand new venture, which is designed to help people who can't afford or can't get to conferences or other training events. It's designed to help fund those people to get to these events. We're all lucky enough to be in this room and be able to go forward and to be able to spend the time to come here. So I'll be raffling off my entire elephant collection soon. So follow Sustain our community. All of the profits will go to the Sustain Foundation, which is designed to pay people who can't make it to these events to get them to these events.
Sorry, and we would be remiss to not mention Funkatron and
we can probably answer that.
Open sourcing mental illness, so OSMI help on Twitter, so there he's looking for helping for speakers, activities, absolutely got my respect.
We just kicked off a fundraising campaign today, and it's really, I've seen so far a really great response. I know Ed is really excited. I'm really excited. Gary and I have actually been helping behind the scenes with the OSMI stuff a little bit here and there. So it's become something very near and dear to my heart, as well as other things.
Excellent. All right. So if you've been not listening, listen for just 1 second. If you're playing a game, pause for just 1 second. I need your attention because I need you all to yell at the top of your lungs on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Wasn't paying attention this entire time. Thank you so much for joining the PHP Roundtable, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Good night,
the PHP Roundtable is recorded live using Google Hangouts On Air. If you'd like to get more information about the live broadcasts, visit phproundtable.com. While you're on the site, join the mailing list to get notified about the next live episode. And hey, maybe even join the conversation at the roundtable. We'd love to hear what you have to say. The theme music is provided by Bensound at bensound.com. The PHP Roundtable logo was designed by Clint McManaman, and you can find him at mcmanaman.co. That's mcmanaman.co. Thanks for listening. I'm Sammy K. Powers, and I hope you'll join us for the next episode.